Okay.
And we are recording
close. Okay. Thank you.
My recording is going.
You're recording, Joel?
Yeah.
All right, Mark, you ready?
Yep, we're all set.
David, you ready?
Yep.
All right, I'd like to call the February 8th, 2022 meeting to order. Request a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Come over a little bit more.
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
You moved all that for nothing?
Roll call. Bill Miller?
Present.
Mark Saller?
Present.
Dave Bench?
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay. I'm looking for approval for the minutes from the January 25th regular meeting.
I so move.
Mark Saller, motion. Dave Bench, second. Is that okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Present.
Mark?
Yeah. What? I can't hear you. Now.
We're approving the meeting minutes.
Oh. Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bill Miller?
Yes.
Mark Saller?
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
Okay. Fiscal officer's report, Joel.
Everybody get their reports?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fund status 598,433 and 40 cents in our Star Ohio Fund, 355,996 and 78 cents in our checking account. Payments 20396 through 20459 and electronic 11-2022 through 132022 totaling $40,372.31. Deposits made since last meeting totals $25,086.07. By the time you guys get through the papers, we'll be done with the meeting.
Oh, we got some lodge again, a little bit. I can approve them as read.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Mark Saller?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Fiscal officer report approved.
Okay. Anybody else have anything for Joel?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to the maintenance department. Kevin, I put you on first.
Okay. First thing I want to just correct our things. It's not February.
We already talked about that. You should have been here on time.
He hadn't started yet.
Yes, sir.
For the benefit of the folks on Zoom, can you ask him to come up to the lectern?
Of course, he's not even in front.
So we pick up the sound better.
Yeah. We need you up front.
Name, address, social security number.
Yeah. All right. For the road maintenance report, went through the snowstorm we had, the three-day event with basically no incident. Other than on Friday, we'd blown a hydraulic line before we went home, but trucks held up real good and everything through the event. We stayed up pretty decent with that drop-off of the snow on Thursday night. That helped us get caught back up again, but obviously with the heavier snow and when that wind picked up, it got a little hard to keep up with all the roads drifting. But we managed to stay far enough ahead, and our roads looked better than anybody else's at that point. So we did manage to get the generator fixed day before the event actually started. That is up and running now. Have not received the bill for it yet, but the generator is back together and appears to be fine. Had one funeral since our last meeting. Had no incident with that. There's been no grave sales. So, that's all I got, unless you guys got something for me.
Yeah, Kevin, I just wondered, did you get the hydraulic line replaced today? I didn't talk to you today.
Yeah, I did that yesterday. Finished it up, got it on yesterday afternoon. We did have a charge down at Hose Direct for like $400 for that hose. I got another one just like it hang on the wall, so if we have a problem with it, and got some big clamps down there. So.
Boy, it's an expensive hose, wasn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, that hose and getting them to put them together, just the last spinner hoses I got over at NAP, or at the old TAT, it was $200 for three of them, 3 foot long. So, and this was 14 foot long, so yeah. I got two of them at 14 feet.
Wow. So,
yeah.
That stuff's really well.
Yep. You got a roll of it, you can make some money. No movement as far as them fixing the leak in the pond yet with Phillips. I will get back on them now before hopefully it gets too wet again. But that's what I got, unless there's questions from somebody.
Dave, I had put in there, down here in the reports, the snowstorm report you had brought up. Did you want to touch base while he's up here? Or do you want to do that?
No, we can do it now. I don't know. Everything, he kind of dazed on it.
I will tell you this. I was very happy with everything that happened. Even have to give the county some credit because they did keep two trucks out here and did a pretty teasing job with the two trucks. Yeah. They almost felt like they had experienced people in there that knew what they were doing because they did keep up pretty good. And I think, you know, bringing the loader in was an excellent idea. If we wouldn't have brought it in, it would have been, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
You know, the snow event we had, the way they blew it up, to be honest, in the last few years, I've worked in a lot worse conditions than what we had through this. At no time did we ever have whiteout conditions or anything. Or in other events for 6-7 hours, you had whiteout events. But other than the county not really widening out the roads and opening them up, like Decant today, part of it was still a lane and a half where you come up to Route 2. So I called them. The truck that's normally at Northwood, they took back to the shop to maintenance it. So he called me back around 1, said they weren't going to be able to make it, and asked me if I'd go do that. So both sides of the road, I widened that out for them. But other than that, they pretty much kept up. The trucks were running around. Where you fall into the problem areas is that shift change, because from here they run all the way to Mount Clover Road. If there's no issues with that truck, the driver within a half hour to an hour, that driver getting back, I'll get into it, then there's an hour back out. So you got a 2 to 3 hour window, and a snow with the wind blowing, the roads are going to become impassable. Then it'll take them several hours after they get out here. And one other thing I did forget, Township Rescue Plan, American Rescue Plan, Township, whatever, heard nothing on that as of yet, and I don't know how long we'll be before we either hear positive or negative on that yet, so.
Yeah, Bo, that he kind of touched on that. That's one of the major problems. Like on Corduroy, some spots, they don't push over enough. Because it started drifting again Sunday, just a little bit there in some spots. And it actually took Corduroy down spots down to one lane almost again.
Yeah.
And our crap, we got to get them on that. I don't know, Kevin said they you know, it's our road, but they're supposed to take care of it.
Right.
So they kind of didn't do a real good job there for a while. So.
Is it they do better this time on our crap?
No. We had to go back over. It was better this time than we went over the last time.
Okay.
They had been down it, but not very often.
And they did throw some salt. I was kind of happy that I did see some salt going down out of the county trucks, because I know they've been...
Decant Road was kind of white. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't check all the other ones, but Corduroy I didn't notice it, but Decant's always... Yeah.
Well, on Friday morning, their superintendent up at Lucas County called me to see what the conditions were out here, and he asked me... Basically, do you think we should start salting now or wait? And I told him that we'd start salting already. He would have some issues in a few places, but right now, that was our window opening for the temperature dropped out. So everybody runs salt on Friday. So okay,
Mark, anything for Kevin?
No, everything that I've seen and heard sounds like they did a great job. Thank you guys for planning ahead, and thank you, Kevin and Eric, for being out there.
Yep. And I seen your email today, but I figured you already answered that state question for the mailbox.
No, actually, I was still looking for a contact.
Yeah, it'll be Department of Transportation out of Oak Harbor, and I can send you that number if you want that number. They can call down there. But
that'd be great. Thanks.
I will tell you though, the state, unless they physically strike the mailbox, they most probably will not be out to replace it. But it's worth a call.
Sure. Okay. Once I get the number from you, I'll get back to her and let her know. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, they go so fast that.
And they put that wing plow out.
That wing out.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Okay. Rec department. I don't think Mike was going to be here tonight.
He is not on Zoom.
Yeah, I think he was, they had some college visits they were attending with his son. Zoning, Linda's not here. Okay, Chief, you're up.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I just want to reinforce the positives, and I want to compliment the trustees on the preparation in the mindset for the snow emergency. They were proactive into the conversations and planning of it prior to the emergency actually hitting. And so, again, thank you, gentlemen, for your guidance and efforts that you were putting forth. On the actual snow emergency, a little bit unusual for us. We incurred 7 calls. So at times we needed, for us to respond, sometimes we need plows to open the roads up or open the drives up and what we're, you know, so we can get in there and do our jobs a little bit more effectively. Kudos to our maintenance department for responding to those kinds of situations. It really does eliminate a lot of extra work and effort. We just recently had a real serious call the other day and called in Kevin, and he was there and opened that driveway up, and we were able to get the life squad backed right in. And it just, you know, that's what teamwork's about. And I just am happy that, you know, everyone works together and we get these things done. For the total month of January, just to give you an idea, we've incurred 43 calls just in the 1 month. So, you know, obviously it's a bit up. I'll just briefly, injured person, 5, ill people, 12, difficulty breathing, 5, just an injury, 1, medical alarms, seizures, heart, 3, strokes, 2, diabetics, 4, unconscious, 3, check the safety, 1, a couple structure fire, which we don't have any fire loss whatsoever. I mean, they turned out to be, fortunately, nothing. So, and fire investigation. So, just to give you an idea of what your department is doing and how we're keeping busy. So, so I just want to talk about that a little bit. We continue to work with Jerusalem School. We're going to assist them on a CPR first aid class for the non-teacher staff. They're coming up in the 22nd. And so, really, I'd like to compliment the resource officer there, Jeff Costanzo. This gentleman is really taking a hard look, along with the principal. The kudos to the principal, too. They are very, very proactive. So when we do this first aid CPR class, they've also invited staffing from the Coy Elementary and Star Elementary. So, you know, just really good stuff that we're being a part of and helping helping out the community. The we're still planning a large ice rescue exercise. February 27th out at Maumee Bay State Park. That'll be a multi-agency event that's going to take place. We did this back in 2014 with a lot of huge success. 2 times a month, we're going to the YMCA and the divers are having an opportunity, and or non-divers are having the opportunity to hone up their skills and make sure everything's up to speed.
Excuse me, Tony, is that Sunday morning again?
It won't be this next one. It'll be the following. The 20th is the next one. You're welcome to come.
Okay, but they're all Sunday mornings.
They're only Sunday mornings, yeah. So, and our YMCA has been gracious enough to keep the cost at the same rate, the last several years, and that's kind of crazy. I mean, but they have to have a lifeguard there. Someone has to open the building, and I appreciate them helping us out. Today, did a little reconnaissance just to see if we're getting ice fishermen out there right now. And yes, we are. So it's beginning slowly. Some of them are in their boats. A couple gentlemen were from Mansfield, and they were walking out today and, going to try their luck at ice fishing. But they're out there. They're well away from a mile offshore. So, if we need to go, there was another thing one of our members brought in for the snow emergency. So right now there's a snowmobile and there's an EMS sled in our station that's available for us to use, for these kinds of emergencies. So we were close to having to use it on the snow emergency, but without the plows clearing the way, we probably would have. Other than that, everything's going well. Just going to plant the seed. The department is going to start specking the tanker. So we've got some specs in. We're going to start looking at that. That'll be replacing engine 31, which is a 1988 truck. So we're in the midst of just beginning on that. And I don't have a tentative price yet. So, but we'll be talking on that further. I just want to give you an idea that we're looking
at. Semi or a tandem?
It'll be a tandem, but we're looking at more of a conventional two-man cab. It's going to be a tanker. It shuttles water. It'll have a pump on it, but I'm not looking to try and go to a Class A pumper or tanker. One of the big problems is you're at least 2 years out. If you were to order one today on a custom, you're 2 years before you'll even see the thing. So that's how far behind. On the conventional cabs, for instance, like a Freightliner or an International or something like that, those are a little more readily available, and some of the vendors in our area are already buying them spec'd. So there's not a lot of bells and whistles and glory to a tanker, but it's there to deliver water, and that's what it's for. So
I think the other thing you got to look at, because we can't finance the purchase of a tanker, we'd have to look at other options to buy it.
And the right. And the manufacturers have those options for us. They're there. So some way, shape, or form, it's going to happen.
Tony, I got this suicide awareness and prevention for public works supervisors. And back then they got price reductions, but there's a meeting down at it's probably more for you and the fire department.
Thank you for sharing.
I don't think we got to worry about Kevin, I hope, unless his kids drive him crazy.
They can do that.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, for first responders?
Yeah.
Thanks. Yep, I'll check into
the way it sounds, you better get on it.
It's
only 25. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Anyone, any questions?
I do. Yeah. Actually, pray for you and Kevin both. The question, I got a call Sunday about Metzger's Pier.
Yes.
The gates closed. And asked, why is it not being plowed? I said, it's not our responsibility. That is the state's responsibility. The question was asked, well, last year, the airboats brought a gentleman that was having a heart attack out ice fishing. And they're saying that's the easiest access for them is right at the pier. And if we can't get a squad down there. Now, I do believe it's open now.
The gates are open, but it has not been plowed.
Were they contracting with Grottles to plow that?
They did.
They did.
Last year they did not have anybody. They were doing it with their small truck when they could. And this year, this was the first real good event we had.
Okay.
And it doesn't appear they plowed at all. It isn't super bad, but there's some areas, if you're in a car, you're going to get stuck.
Well, and it was a really good question, because they did bring a guy in having a heart attack last year, and that's where they ran him to.
Right. Because if you add the delay of coming all the way through the canal,
right.
that's a lot more time.
Right.
And, I just got to find out the right agency to talk to, because I don't believe it's the gentleman from Maumee Bay State Park. It's not those guys. I think it's Division of Wildlife.
Okay.
And I am networking with the federal wildlife officer, but he's still a different group than the state wildlife officer. So
okay.
And typically what happens is, like, now they're just starting to go out on the ice. So usually when they start going out on the ice, if it ain't maintained, normally I'll make a pass down and back, then usually just salt it in one direction to open it up some,
mm-hmm.
just for if we're down there for an ice rescue or got to do something.
Right.
They can get down there with a reasonable amount of safety on the road.
Okay.
Very good.
Probably ask Jason down there at the feds. You're right. They don't have control over that. It's a certain when we did Bono Road, it's not the state. Something I can't remember anymore. But you're right.
For you guys to understand, anytime we have a situation that involves like someone dying on a location, it's funny how many different agencies you got to try and make sure you're getting the right one notified, because each one of them if it's in their property, then they have to deal with it. So it's a trip out here.
I checked when we were closing that up due to high water. I had a couple of those guys give me their card. I'll have to look in my desk. We can find one of them. We can find out who's in charge for sure. But then we can get a hold of them.
I think it's a lot for us, with as much waterfront as we have, it's a logical reason to request to have that open for that particular reason. I mean, if nothing else, for our
emergency
personnel to get down there is critical.
And in 2009, that's where we had set up command.
Right.
Was on the pier. At location. So,
who's going to take lead on asking that question?
Kevin.
To ensure that stays open for emergency.
I think Kevin's going to look for the contact, and it would probably be best to come from the chief and probably Kevin both.
I'll talk to Clayton Hamilton, and he's the federal officer, and I'll talk to him, and he'll be able to help us too.
Oh yeah.
Now, see, we have no control over whether they close the gate or not, because they either deem it safe or unsafe, and they deem it unsafe, they close it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told by their officer, if we ever need to get out there, just cut the lock and go.
Right.
And get a hold of them that we've opened it. But other than that, he wasn't too worried about it. He wasn't trying to keep us out. But the people that's got to drive back there at night, not paying attention, end up in the canal.
Right.
So.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Anybody here from the food pantry? Doesn't look like it. Reno Beach Hard Farms Conservancy. I see Elvis is on. Do you have a report, Elvis?
Well, good evening, everyone. No, we do not have any updates, as our next scheduled meeting is March.
Okay.
Do you have any questions of the Conservancy?
Don't look like it from us. Mark, do you have anything for the Conservancy?
No, I would like to maybe just extend a thank you to the Conservancy for their willingness to share with us their drone survey, and we're working on the drone survey of the remaining area, and that, I think that saved us some money, so we're very grateful for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, move on to trustee reports. Probably not much moving on the cemetery at this time. Okay. Hall and rental's been slow. We do have a rental, a firefighter renting it this weekend, and then the scouts. We have a scout group in tomorrow night, and then one Sunday night. And then we have firefighters on Saturday, so pretty slow on that aspect. Anything on roads and bridges that Kevin didn't cover for us?
Just a snowstorm, and we worked Grottle's crew three shifts. They worked plow on the payloader and And that's what I did most of the last week was snowstorm, just like Kevin.
There were a lot of calls.
But
it did go good. Everything went really good. So, and I was very happy to see the turnout with the firemen.
Yeah, there was a whole crew here all the time.
And that's, they're getting paid, but they're also being away from their family. So it's good to see that they're dedicated to coming here and spend the night and respond so we get to our residents sooner.
Chief, how many people did you have here at a time? Four or five?
We had about six at a time.
Six at a time.
Seven once in a while, but there was at least six that were staying through the night.
Seven, right?
Yeah. So we had the way we do, we had an engine and a squad crew ready to go.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to old business here. I still got the American Rescue Plan up there. Dave, do you want to, did I put that down in?
New business.
Oh, I put it down in new business there, the first one in new business. The legal that you got.
Oh. See if I got the card. You got a card too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got, it's Baker and Dumb Lickar. I saw him down at the Columbus at the meeting, and they had some seminars down there, and they seemed to know what they're talking about, and other townships brought them in. So I thought maybe we should hire them. I can't remember. I didn't write it down. It's either 120 or 100. I want to think it was only 120. Didn't they tell you?
They told me it was 120 an hour.
Yeah, so I didn't think that was bad, and they seemed to know what they're doing, and
So, just so everybody kind of knows, the American Rescue Plan is money that we receive from the government, part of the COVID relief. Joel, what was the total number we got, or we're going to get? We got 150 now.
500.
164,000 times 2. 356.
Three, yeah, it was 370.
All right, 370,000 we're getting from the government, but we can only use it on certain things that fit certain criteria. So we could go and spend the money on anything right now, but when we go and submit the bills to them, if they say, yeah, that isn't covered under it, then we have to pay it back. So by going with a legal counsel like Dave had found down at the OTA conference, that's what they specialize in, and they will tell you, yes, you can use it for that, or no, there's no way, you don't even try it. So, and we can actually use the American Rescue funds to pay for their services. So it won't be coming out of our general fund money. We can actually use some of the government money to hire the legal counsel to give us the research. So, do we feel that we should set a dollar amount, like up to so much for now, so we can start contacting them?
Yeah, I suppose we could, and makes it, I wouldn't think we'd spend over $1,000. I mean, knowing if we do, well, we'll just make another motion. Well, does that sound right?
I think you should take your list of what you want them to look at and to kind of base it off of that. So we have 20 items you want them to consider.
Can't hear Joel very well.
Yeah. He's got his mask on, I'm sorry.
So if you have 20 items that you want them to consider, what's the most, an hour an item?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that much.
How you would come up with a number.
Dave, I think the rate that you referenced, the UNBO reference, is a very good rate for an attorney.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just plain smart for us to run our list past them. I think that's Bo on our target timeline. Isn't that what March is for, to run those those items past the attorneys?
Well, I believe we were going to try and have I wanted to have it in front of OTA somebody at OTA this meeting, but with the snowstorm and everything and the OTA conference, I didn't get to it. Talking to the OTA, and then Dave come back with the actual the lawyers, and I thought, you know what, they'd be the best ones to ask. So I think right. that I would skip the OTA, because they're more than likely going to
They would send probably send us there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that we should make a motion, and I can make a motion to approve up to $1,000 right now.
I'd say more.
You want to do more, Joel, do you think?
If the ERP fund is paying for it, say $5,000 to cover us throughout the year. Oh, it's a lot, but, who knows?
We don't have to spend it.
We don't spend it, yeah.
It's their money anyways. And your timeline was the end of February. Take your list that you got by the end of January to be vetted, and at the end of March, make the approval of the board to spend the money on these items. So you're ahead of schedule with this.
I can second Bo's motion.
What? I had a thousand mark, or Joel's saying we should increase it.
Increase it.
Okay. Joel, you recommend 1,500 or 2,000?
He said 5,000.
I mean, for to cover us the whole time we have this ARP money, right? Because we're going to be hiring this attorney next year when we get to spend more of our ARP money, right?
Possibility.
Okay. Possibility. Or something might require more than an hour of his time.
Right.
Right. Oh, that's fine. Okay. I mean, I can support 5,000. It's it qualifies for ARP, and it's we'd be pre-authorizing it for the entire year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, do you want to make the motion, or do you want me to make it?
Well, go ahead.
Okay. So, I move to approve expenditures up to $5,000, for legal on the ARP funding.
I will second that.
You better put their name down there somehow.
I'll
give that.
Make me a copy of that before we leave.
What's his name? You have to say it in the motion too.
Baker. For Baker and what's the?
Jesus, I don't like him. What'll be the names?
Good luck.
Dublicker? Yeah. Baker and Dublicker.
Sounds good.
I read it the way it's spelled.
Esquire. Okay, Mark Sattler, second. Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Joel, motion carried.
Joel's got one, too. But we can copy it. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on, old business. Number two there, the response to the Sheriff Navarre letter. Have we moved anywhere on that, Mark? Did you work on that at all?
I see what you sent through. I think that we need to talk about what our position is, and so we can start to put a draft together. Let me ask: is everybody in agreement that our position is that? Do we want to take the position that the township does not have the funds, or do we want to come at it from the standpoint that it is the sheriff's responsibility to maintain
peace?
What's the language?
Maintain the peace.
Yeah.
And you both got the legal document I sent over from Julia Bates. Did you see anything in there that stood out that when you read that? Mark, did you see anything?
I didn't.
I mean, other than the fact that he's responsible to keep the peace.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, last time I saw the stats for calls, I think our calls account for something like 1.2 or 1.25% of all of the calls, and it's the sum of money he's proposing is a ridiculously large sum of money
that we can't afford.
I guess I would suggest that we put some arguments together that reference that the sheriff's responsibility is to maintain the peace. Calls to Jerusalem Township are make up an extremely small fraction of all of the sheriff calls.
And we are now having to pay for the dispatching. So, that's a new expense to us that we never really had.
We're just getting hit all at once with all this.
Yeah. I mean, we've always paid for dispatching, just not at this rate.
I'd also like to make the argument that there's that the majority of residents who work, I suspect, I can't prove it, but I believe that the majority of residents of the township work outside the township.
Oh, definitely.
And most likely work in other municipalities where they pay an employer tax to that municipality. That doesn't come back to us. And I've contacted the Toledo Tax Department and the Oregon Tax Department, and they both indicated that they have absolutely no way of answering our question as to how many and how much they're collecting from residents of Jerusalem Township. So I think that helps. That helps to address his assertion that the townships are, you know, Jerusalem Township in particular, is not paying anything towards law enforcement. Well, anyone who works outside of our township, if they work in a taxing municipality, they are paying.
Okay. Yeah, Mark, I don't know if you've seen that, but I also talked to one of the sheriff deputies, and they said Springfield is probably the worst one. It's over 60% of their calls. It's just terrible out there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
If it's going to be interesting to see, what is that, May, if they pass their levy or if they turn it down too. That's a pretty good sized levy there.
Right.
I'm on board with all the points that we just discussed.
So
I think we're...
Okay. All right, I will. I'll go ahead and put these together and then send a draft out.
Sounds good.
That you can take a look at, and we can if you wish to discuss further at the next meeting in order to then finalize it and pass it.
That sounds terrific.
Yep, sounds good. Okay. I talked to two sheriffs, and they said, call or bluff. And that's what we did last time. And so I don't know if it'll work this time or not. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, how do you, I guess the other question I have is, how vocal do you want, do you think we should get with our first salvo back to the sheriff? I mean, should we... You know, I'm hesitant about pointing out that that this could be a negative PR and all those things. I'm not sure that we should put that in our first salvo. I think we should just make our economic and utilization points.
I agree on that,
Mark. I saw Chuck Herschel down at the OTA and. I told him, you know, I know he doesn't care. You know, he's Monclova Township. They got so much money. It doesn't matter there, you know, and they have a levy for the sheriff and that. But I said, you know, Chuck, why don't we work together and get all the small townships and at least talk about this, try and get together a little bit so we have a little power together maybe. I don't know if I'm doing any good, but that was one of my ideas down there.
How did he respond, David?
Oh, lukewarm, you know, he doesn't really care. And I told him that. I know you don't care, you know, but I didn't have time last week because of the snow and that, so maybe this week I'll call him up or email him and try and see if he would get us together and have a meeting. And if I have to call some of the other townships to try and get him to come, because they don't always come, you know, to that, the association.
Right.
So maybe I'll try and call next week and see what I can do.
Okay.
Can't hurt.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, is that all we got for the sheriff letter right now?
I think we're finished with that.
Okay. I have on here the Republic Trash contract update. I left that on there. I talked to Scott quite a bit here over the last... week with the delay in the garbage, suspending the service for the this past week, and I had him on the phone. I asked him about our cans and said, "Hey, where are we at with this?" And he said that he should have a better answer for me, a more firm date early next week. He did say that he had reached out to you about the automated trash, the brochure.
Right.
Which Mark... Yeah, I don't know. Can you maximize that at all? Can you make that bigger?
Let me see.
Oh, yeah. I can read it.
Okay, so that's good.
Okay. So, yeah, the brochure is 2 pages. It talks about... Can you see it okay?
Yeah, we can see it. I mean, it's... Okay.
It talks about the automated trash collection.
Put your trash in the
car. References the carts. There's a picture of those carts. And they're focusing on safe and contained way. And I think it's good to emphasize at the bottom of the first page that it's not a purchase. Don't purchase your own carts. I have heard from some people and discourage them from going out and buying their own.
It will be heavy enough.
And then this has a July 1 date. I'm assuming it's going to hit a lot sooner than that.
I would hope so.
But that's the first question. What is he going to use as a start date? There's accepted and non-acceptable materials. And the caution that personal containers can no longer be used. And then if you want more than one cart, it's an extra fee. And then that date shows up again. One typo I will point out is right over here. This is the filler township that's left over from a previous version. He's aware of that. Under monthly bulk item.
Mm-hmm.
Where he talks about one bulk item per month. Is there anything else, gentlemen, that you think needs to be addressed in the brochure?
Everybody just wants to know when it's going to start because they want that unlimited, that one a month. I've had more calls on that, and there's nothing we do about it until they get the totes.
I know, and my cans are getting pretty beat up. So I'm like, I'm hoping they come soon because I might go buy another one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just...
I think they're suffering from the supply chain issues that are affecting everyone.
Yeah. No, I think that looks pretty good. You know, obviously they got to fix that typo, and then we got to get the date down, nailed down, so... I would think that Scott will either be contacting you, Mark, or me on exactly the date, but he said they were going to have a meeting about it next week, so
right.
He was hoping early next week.
And those going to be mailed out?
Very good.
Yeah, so, Mark, you got a question. These are going to be mailed out to every resident, correct? When they're
I don't know if they're going to be mailed or if they're going to be distributed with the carts. Or left, you know, if they drop a cart off, put one in the door. I'm not exactly sure, but I'll ask them about that.
Okay.
Distribution method.
I think the last time we did this, they were sent out in the mail, I think. So I don't know, Bo. I think I'd rather see them out before the.
Yeah. And they do have the since we provided them with the file, they would have all the addresses.
Yeah, they got them.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Okay, the rec director. So, have we had any other applicants come in that anybody's aware of?
I've only seen the one.
So have I. Mark, have you seen any others?
I have not seen any others, no.
Okay. And I think we had kind of agreed to try and close that here at this meeting. Was that what I remember from the last meeting, or was it the end of February?
Maybe we better make it the end of February because I thought Mike said he had some people, other people too, that wanted it.
And he called me the other day and said that they're out.
Oh, they're out.
Yeah. Yep. So he did call and say that because he asked me if we had any other applicants. I said no. I still only had the original one. And the other ones that he had in mind are taking other jobs within the school. So they would not be...
Should we try and put it in the paper? It should be nice to have more than one, but...
I agree. Did,
I thought it was going to be easy, but...
Yeah.
About the press, Suburban Press.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Local, I guess. I don't know.
Mark, thoughts on that?
Well, it's been about a month since we first put it out on social media. You know, we could push it out as a new social media post, so it'll be at the top. But I mean, it's a small community. If there isn't anyone else in the community that is interested in that role, you know, we are a small town. I guess all I can suggest is we could push it out on social media again.
I mean, I did have some people ask me about it, and I said to apply, and we've never got anything, so.
So this fellow doesn't live in the community. He's right. Not far away.
Yeah, he lives right across the tracks. There,
across the tracks, but, you know, it doesn't have to be from the community if they're that close.
Right.
Well, I guess the other alternative is, do you think that we should spring for an ad in the press?
Echo.
What'd you say?
I think you said it. You guys just said it.
Right. Yeah. He probably can't hear
it.
Yeah. That's a discussion we were having about possibly putting it in the press. So, I mean, that's not going to cost that much. I think that might be a wise decision, trying to get that in and run it for a week or two and then have this closed out by the end of February, you know, the application process. And then when you get back, we can get interviews scheduled. So we can do them in-person interviews.
Sure. That sounds great. If you guys want to go ahead and put something in the press, I think that's a good idea.
Do you still have that, you still have the heading from the social media, correct, for the posting?
I can forward that to you.
Yeah, can you email that to me, and then I can send that off to the press?
Okay.
We'll make it next, what's the cutoff tomorrow, isn't it?
But some Thursday, sometimes Thursday morning.
I'll see if I can get it in there this week.
Thursday morning.
Okay, so you'll send that to me, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
will.
Thank you. And we'll close it at the February meeting. All right. Number five, Otarma Risk Management Review. Have we moved anywhere on that yet?
No, that's limbo. The snow. It went on the shelf.
Okay.
With the snow.
I think number six is the same way right now, Mark, the goal planning for the comprehensive plan.
We'll revisit that probably next month.
Okay. And then number seven here, I have the org structure, which we talked a little bit about in the last meeting, stating, you know, where we were going to have it, each department head would kind of report to one particular trustee as their point of contact. And there was some discussion on that. And I do agree with the section of a business liaison, which is going to be a group. If I remember correctly, that's
right,
how
it would, it would do two things. It would help us connect with businesses to help promote them, and it would also, since so much of our business is tourism, it would also help people be focused on how to promote the tourism aspect, which also benefits businesses.
So there would be in that organizational chart, there would be a trustee that would be responsible for that section of it.
They'd be the liaison,
front person,
or the point of contact on that topic.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was giving this some thought, and I wanted to run this by you guys. You know, my personal opinion is, Mark, you would probably be the perfect one for that, to head that up to begin with. But you're also in charge of the cemetery at this point. So, Dave, what your thoughts are too on this is, what if, you know, we're going to switch, we're going to have the rec director is going to be doing the hall rentals. Move the, which right now I'm in charge of halls. So I would still be the point of contact for the halls, but I could also take in the cemetery. You stay as roads and bridges, and then Mark could stay on as like the, you could do the, run the business liaison part of it.
I don't have that in front of me right now.
But I don't have, I think it's in my desk in there.
Yeah, but it was different than that even. It's,
yeah, there was a lot, he had a lot going on in there. But I think this would be a good first start. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, to get going, to begin to get started with the whole business liaison and promotion of tourism, I think that would be a really good step forward.
Why don't we just wait till he comes back and we're all sitting here, though? Mark, do you hear me?
Can you repeat that, Dave?
Yeah, Mark, I just wonder, why don't we just wait when we're all three sitting here together and we can hash this out? We don't even have that plan in front of us, either one of us. So, what do you think, bro?
I thought at the last meeting there was a little bit of confusion or disconnect of, like, well, you know, the way you wanted to run it originally, but I think that your main goal is just to get the business liaison in, correct?
Correct.
Oh, that's what he wants to do right
yeah.
now?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the bulk of what you're trying to get done is get the business parts established where it would move Mark to that portion, and then we could take Mark's cemetery off of him because right now there's not a lot going on with that anyway.
I so move.
Okay. So, Joel, you want an official motion for that? No?
I don't think that really...
Okay.
That's just amongst you guys. Who all does right. want for you?
No.
So that may, I think that'll work because, like I said, with somebody taking over the hall rental part of it, I'll still be the point of contact basically for the halls. And
all we're doing is putting him as a liaison for the
hall rentals.
No.
Or for the business part.
The business
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
I think we should have a motion for that, though.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to make the motion or do you make it?
I make a motion. We make Mark the liaison for the economic part of it.
Move the cemetery over to me.
Well, let's just let that go
until
we get it all organized better.
Okay.
But he that's what he wants.
Yep.
Is this right?
Is that satisfactory, Mark?
Yeah. That we at least that we are approving that. That we're going to activate, a business liaison and an emphasis on tourism, which could mean setting up an advisory committee of folks that are going to focus in on tourism and business.
And I can second that motion.
Roll call, Mark Seller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Paul Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, was there any other old business that I missed?
Nope.
Okay. We already handled the number one in new business, the American Rescue Plan Legal. Number two, the TEMACOG virtual event, February 23rd at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I just put it in there. That's when it is. So.
Okay. Number three, the TEMACOG. I misspelled there. Forgot my old. The ag meeting was canceled.
Yep.
Okay.
That was for the 217, and why they canceled, I don't know. They just said it was canceled.
Okay. The zoning resolution, did we have something here?
You got one, too.
I don't have one. Did she email us that?
Joel, was that...
Yeah, you got one.
Make sure that we had permanent appropriations approved before we went after those grant monies? The
50-50
split?
Okay, yeah, this is the one over on...
No, I'm not sure what this...
Yeah.
I'm not sure, Mark, what this zoning resolution agenda item
that,
is.
I think that was your email.
That is. This is the resolution to declare the Becerra's Pizza.
Oh, that's just the, yes, that's all that is. Not to spend any money.
Okay.
There's no money. We can always back out of this, but they want us to get the grant to get it started. And we have a pretty good chance that if we get it in there right away, that we could get it.
Right.
So we have to declare the building on
this
site.
This is a 11741 Corduroy Road residence. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. Yep. Okay. Do you want to read that, Dave, or then make the motion?
Okay. So you got the resolution number?
It'd be today's date, so 02-08-2022.
Here. 02.
Today's date. 08-2022.
Here, write it down.
Yeah, it's today's date.
I can't hear you.
2022. Okay.
Okay. Okay, Jerusalem Township Resolution 02-08-2022-00. Resolution to approve, declare parcel 3367751 unsecure, unsafe, structurally defective, unfit for human habitation. Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7 p.m. at regular meeting on February the 8th, 2022, it should be there, yeah. President's got present here. Trustees move to approve the following resolution.
Mark's not here now. Is he?
I'll skip this here and I'll go to here. The above trustees have moved to. Well, I guess we got to vote on it. That's what we got to do right now. You ready?
Yeah, who wants to make the motion?
I think Dave made the motion.
I still moved.
So I only have one question on this, and I think this is going to be directed back towards the fire chief. On these buildings that we declare, how does she have it in there? We declared it uninhabitable and unsecure.
Yeah.
When you go in, chief, and you declare a building, does that responsibility fall back to the township to secure that building and or to... Is there any
fallback? It truly falls back to the property owner, whoever that is.
Okay.
And
until the property is taken away from the property owner, then it legally becomes the property of the township. Then the township takes responsibility for securing the building.
It is secure. Everything's locked. The only place that's not secure is the roof.
Okay. Well, what I didn't want to get into is us starting to declare these buildings, and then us have to say, well, you declared them. You need to board them up and secure them in that aspect.
But on some of the different structures that I've examined, the doors are wide open. There's rodents and stuff running around, and again, that's still not. We can't go in there and secure it. After a fire, I have more authority. I have authority over the property, and I can then make the property secure. Because it may be evidence or other information, but on this, I'm just assisting in my professional view. This is everything that we're seeing.
Okay, and then are we, as you're doing these buildings, are you red flagging these with the dispatch?
We're red flagging these buildings for no entry.
Tony, you didn't.
Now, Toledo runs into this all the time. And they still will send a search in there because sometimes there's vagrants in there.
Okay.
But
you didn't get in it, did you, Tony?
I did not. I did not enter the building. I was able to see it through the aerial footage and everything and do a walk around.
The aerial footage pretty well tells you.
It's collapsing.
So yeah.
The problem is even though you have one portion of the building collapsing, it puts a stress on the rest of the building and where it can... bring the rest of it down. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Who is the current owner?
The Saris's. I don't know if that's their.
Yeah, I don't know who the actual. Linda's been in contact with him.
Yeah.
The gentleman, and he's completely aware of everything that's going on.
Is he consenting then that you do this? Because
he hasn't paid his taxes.
Right. You don't own it.
Yeah.
He hasn't paid his taxes.
Well, it doesn't matter. So he still owns
it. It's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Once it gets to that point, that
then yeah.
It goes through, then you can.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing all legal sneak.
Okay. That's I guess my question.
That was my question, was make sure that we're not responsible right. for doing it. So.
Or if you do it and he goes, you tore down my building.
Right.
No, we're not going to do anything like that.
That would be after the fact, after it gets taken by the land bank and
okay.
Everything like that. So
if the township seized the building or they signed it over to them, could they use it for fire practice?
Not so much anymore. No. It's really a challenge to do that.
Okay.
So I'm now pretty much not going to do that again.
And that building
still want to burn it down. Huh?
Well, the problem is some of the buildings contain asbestos.
Oh, yeah.
So then we have to remediate that. Even when we took the expense to tear down our training building, I had to have asbestos crews come in and remediate that. Yeah. And it just wasn't
worth it. Yep.
It's mostly brick, except for the roof. It's double brick. I was surprised. They smeared concrete over it, and it's double brick. Mm-hmm. A lot of brick there. A lot of weight to haul away for the contractor. I guess we can take our vote.
So you made the motion. I can second the motion.
Yep. We're up for a vote. Okay. Okay, roll call, Mark Seiler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Paul Miller.
Yes.
Resolution approved.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, number five. I had that in my other folder, but the Jerusalem Township Alzheimer's support link. We all received that email this morning at 4:30 in the morning.
You want me to read it quick?
I heard my phone go off.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I looked at the time, you know. Jerusalem Alzheimer's support. This means something to me because my mom had it, and I took care of her for 10 years. Dear Mr. Bench, my name is Mia, and I am contacting you on behalf of Alzheimer's Support. Alzheimer's Support is a free service that assists Jerusalem families who have loved ones with Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Though our free search tool and database of Alzheimer's care facilities, families in need of care for their loved ones can locate licensed care homes and communities in the Jerusalem area that are best equipped to provide care for their loved ones. I was wondering, would it be possible for you to let your residents know about Alzheimer's Support via your website? We'll put it on the website, I thought. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and ask Neon Goldfish to put it out there.
Okay.
Gentlemen, what do you think? You okay with putting the majority of the text of Mia's letter out there to help explain?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And there was a link there, too, correct, Mark?
Yeah, there will be a hyperlink. Yes.
Is that something that we could also pick up and put on the official Facebook page?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Once it's on our... website, then we can go ahead and grab that website page, a link, and then forward that out on our government Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Sounds good, Mark. You take care of that. Sounds good.
Yep, we'll do. Okay.
Okay, number six, the Marcy Captors Job and Infrastructure Webinar.
Well, there's like four of them, so you guys probably got this too, didn't you? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys all got it all. Yeah.
Okay, we had number seven on here, permanent appropriations for this year, but Mark, are you ready to do...
Yeah, I took a look at that. Yeah, I'm okay with moving ahead if you guys are.
Dave, you good with that?
Yeah.
Moving out with permanent appropriations?
Yeah.
Okay, Joel.
There's that summary sheet, yeah.
So we basically need to do the, all we got to do is make a motion to approve permanent appropriations in the total of the $1,617,250.
Typing it here. Yeah, exactly. It's just all the funds together, not individually.
So, what I'll do real quick is just explain, then I'll make the motion for you. So, give you guys a little bit of a background. In 2019, we appropriated
$201,892. In 2020, we appropriated $1,492,390. In 2021, we approved $1,455,382. And this year, we are going to appropriate $1,617,250. And why it goes up is because we have the ARP funding and the garbage. So we're not saying we're going to spend this much money. We are just saying we are. This is what we are appropriating out there to, in case we do spend all $150,000 of the ARP money. We may. We may not. We don't know. But we go ahead and appropriate it all. That way it's there at our fingertips if we need to. Is that a good explanation, Joel?
Yeah, it's the garbage is the other one. The garbage assessment. That's probably more realistic. We'll spend all that because we have to pay Republic for the money we collected that assessment, which why it went up $300,000 because we know.
So, but you made that motion?
Well, I haven't made the motion officially. I was given a little bit of background, but I move to approve the 2022 permanent appropriations in the amount of $1,617,250.
I second that.
Dave Bench.
Mark's got it.
Mark's got it. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Permanent appropriations approved.
Look at that, Joel. We got that taken care of for you.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Okay, number eight. We have on here is the Lexipol policies and procedures that the fire department is using for your FOP. So, the question was brought up that there may be a little bit of pushback on this because the trustees have not officially approved the SOPs or what's in there. Now, we approved to use Lexipol, correct? If we got Chief, you remember that?
Let me correct something.
What's an SOP?
I have the signed procedure. SOPs from the trustees on the SOPs that we had.
Sorry,
Prior.
Can you ask Chief to come closer to your mic?
Sorry, Chief. I forget he can't hear
us. I have a copy of the signed SOPs that when I became Chief, I was able to get the trustees to sign the original SOPs. Switching to Lexipol, all that did was refine the information and legitimize it with lawyer vetting. Those SOPs are still there. They're just in a new format that are vetted by law.
So we're on the same page. Has any of the policies changed significantly that we would need to review an SOP from when you got the ones we signed to what Lexipol's putting out?
The terminology and the language is now vetted correctly. So we used to say he, she, mm-hmm. and now the proper name is to say them. And we're not identifying gender.
Okay.
So yes, that's an example of one.
Chief, this is Mark.
Yes.
Trustees need to go through and review and electronically approve each of the policies now that they're in Lexipol.
That's why we provided access for you to look at these refined SOPs, and I'm going to expand just slightly. Lexipol also offers to townships the ability to put SOPs together. They have a township segment, which would be a different cost and a different thing. But instead of the handbook that we have currently, you would come into the 21st century into the new vetted ones and you're going to take your handbook and you're going to convert your handbook into the new legal ones so everything comes together. The remember, one of the problems that we have, the fire department has with the handbook is there is separation from the two. You know, because in technical terms, you know, we're a volunteer paid department, and so we don't fall under a lot of the township policies, but there's no clarity in there because we're working off of two. Right. This is why the SOPs, this is why I wanted to go to Lexapol, because I wanted to have a cleaner, legal, decisive language to protect the township.
So are these SOPs in Lexapol, which I have not got in there, I did get the email, but are these SOPs are basically for personnel policies, not this is the... So
no, they go into the same as what the SOPs, when you were, used to be a firefighter and the SOPs that you had,
right.
Those we take those SOPs, we bring it over, and we start matching it up with what's available,
okay.
And then in the Lexapol, they will give us best practice, the state guideline. So now the SOP references the state code that it applies to. So in our written SOPs that we had done ourselves, had no reference or very little reference to any of the Ohio Revised Code. These now reference the state codes and or they'll reference the federal standards. So again...
So our SOPs, I think I heard you ask a question. The SOPs for the fire department are standard operating procedures. Mm-hmm. So it's a basic guideline of how to do a task or what they're going to do when they do a task. It isn't wrote in stone because events and things change at every scene you go to.
Correct.
But this is basically, it says, hey, if we're going to have a water rescue, this is the way the chief wants this truck, then this truck, and you know this is how he wants it to proceed out. That could all change depending on what the water rescue is,
right.
You know. So I guess the question is, to the trustees, do we feel comfortable enough to approve the SOPs that the chief is putting out prior to, that Lexapol is putting out without doing a official sign-on and like we used to?
Right.
Or do we want to see them, like once you get a group of them done?
There's 40 of them that are done right now, and I have two members that have acknowledged 40 of the SOPs.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Now, I have others, but they've only done like one or two.
Okay.
So we're still, this is still a continuous work, and we're still adding in more policies or SOPs.
Because these are policies that affect us as the employers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other side of it, we also reference the manual that the township has and brought that in conjunction. So we worked with the manual, not to conflict the manual as the way it's written, because mm-hmm. that's the township manual.
Right.
So Chief, this is Mark. I've got two questions.
Okay.
The first question is, do you expect or do you desire each trustee to review each procedure and electronically approve that procedure?
Yes.
Okay, so then second question, if given that yes, does your Lexapol application allow you to send a reminder or a prompt for each policy that's ready for trustee approval? Can it send a prompt to each trustee that they can then go in, you know, follow that link, and then review and electronically sign off on that policy?
You can review the... for instance, is there's 40 SOPs currently right out there right this minute. So
I don't have a list of those, and that's what I'm asking are... You know, how do you communicate to us, these are the ones that are ready to be signed off?
So with your access, you can go into the segment, and they're broken down to personnel, they're broken down to procedures, and you go in that segment, and then there's a variety of SOPs. You just read through it. If you understand it and everything, then you just you hit the acknowledge button, and then you're done. That's it. And that's the other benefit of the Lexapol is I can. We originally printed out SOPs and handed them to firefighters, and as they would change, they would get a new variance, and then we tried doing the trying to come more electronically, and we put them on thumb drives, and they signed that they received the thumb drive, but that's not an acknowledgement that they read the SOP. This protects the township because now each and every SOP that's putting out there is acknowledged by the individual. That gives the township the protection that they read and acknowledged the SOPs. It's my job as the chief to make sure and encourage the folks to continue getting SOPs acknowledged. So, does that help at all? I mean, that was the other selling point for me pursuing Lexapol was with protecting the township legally that these are the SOPs, you have to acknowledge them, and you have to read them. You can't just read them and... you have to acknowledge it. You have to say, okay. So that's you telling me that you read the SOP and you understand it.
To answer Mark's question.
Oh, go ahead.
If you download the Lexapol app on your phone or on your computer, it'll come up as KMS.
Yeah.
Every time you click on that, it will let you know how many you have unread. So currently, if he has 40 of them out, you acknowledge them all, and next week go back on there, it'll prompt you to having 5 or 6 unread. You'll click into it, then you'll read and acknowledge those. So that there is a prompt, but it doesn't actually alert you on your phone. Mm-hmm. Alan Clay, we just went through this about 2 years ago. It's a real easy procedure to go through and read them. The big differences you'll see is the verbiage. Because our SOPs over there were grabbed from New York, California, Toledo. So they just worded that to fit Alan Clay, and they legaled it. And there was minor word changes if something was not legal to say in a certain form, like he said, male, female, he, she. They changed that. And that's the kind of changes you'll see in it, unless there's a SOP inserted that wasn't originally in there. That's the only way anything will be different other than the verbiage will be different of it, but it still means the same thing. But now, when it goes to court and it's tested, it's been all legal. That's a big difference in them.
The question is, if we read them and acknowledge them on the Lexapol program, should we come in here and make a motion, a vote, saying that we accept the chief's SOPs? Like, we used to sign off on them. Mark, Dave's stepping out for a second to get a drink of water. What are your thoughts on that? I guess what I want is I want to be able to if the chief only has 2 people that have done them all, I'm trying to give him a little bit of teeth to say, hey, these are approved. The Board of Trustees are backing this and are approving this.
Well, I guess my thought is the chief could report out at each meeting or once a month about the policies that are ready for approval, how many the trustees have signed off on, and yes, he could report out his statistics on his firemen. In terms of where they're at.
Well, I think the I guess what I'm saying is if the members of the fire department are, from what I'm gathering, are saying, hey, these have not been approved by the trustees, there's no teeth behind them. Well, we want to have the,
I don't want to say teeth, but we want to have the fire chief back on this and say, no, we approve. You know, we approve for him to go to Lexipol and use Lexipol. I want to make sure that we're standing behind it and saying, yes, we've approved these SOPs.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean. We can, at our subsequent trustee meetings, we can indicate that we trustees have signed off on X policies, and the chief can go forward and say, hey guys, here's the 30 or 40 policies that the trustees have approved, and I need all of my fire and EMT staff to acknowledge each of those policies.
Does that help you, Chief, on your...
It's whatever you feel. I mean, again, the original adoption, prior to me being chief, there were never any SOPs signed by the trustees. So the original written trustee or policies and procedures, I have the signed document that said that you did adopt SOPs. It's always been known that SOPs language can flex and change. Because if you would really go back in time, our trucks were identified as 313, 312, 314. Well, there again, that's not the right. It's identifying not the right vehicle anymore because we went through a complete name change. Yeah. That's just an example of a change that had to take place. So, and within the Lexipol, we can always revisit a SOP and make more changes to it at any time. And it just becomes another change, and then they have to acknowledge that one.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you mean how to...
I guess telling the chief, I'm trying to get it to where he, you know, if we're standing behind him on this Lexipol, does it need to be... Do we need to approve every SOP, or do we just say we're giving the chief authority, we are approving the use of the Lexipol policies that the chief is putting out?
I don't think we have to read them all. I think he knows what he's doing, but we should approve them. Does that sound good to you?
I'm all for you approving them. That's why you now have access to them, and if you're saying okay to that, then to me that would be your signed stamp. If you would like, I will check and report back on next meeting. Is I will check with the city of Oregon, because that's a city department that's using Lexipol, and I will check with his chief, Alan Clay,
see how they're
doing it.
So I'll leave that on there.
I mean, standing in front of you right now, I'm basing my protection on that I have a set of signed documents from the trustees that legalize our SOPs. This is something that Otarma also was very pleased that we took it on, and by doing so, every year they give a $1,000 stipend towards this itself. So, again, I encourage you guys to talk to Lexipol yourself, and you may want to begin the transfer of your handbook to the Lexipol, because you'll find it so much easier to deal with.
Okay. So we'll leave that on there for the next meeting, and you can...
And I'll report back on that information.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
what's that?
For the sake of the notes, what do you want me to... Next meeting, we're just going to...
The chief is going to report back to us on how the other ones, like if Oregon and Alan Clay, if the trustees and city council are approving... each individual one, or if they're approving them as a bulk.
Gotcha.
Okay, I had one other new business when I got in here. It was in my mailbox, is we've got the road mileage certification form from Lucas County. And we need to sign this by all three of us and return to the office by February 18th. So, Mark, you're going to need to fly back and sign this.
I'll tell you what, if you can just... scan it to me, I'll sign it and scan it back.
Okay. So it looks like, Kevin, because you'll be a part of this, is we did have 25.955 miles.
It's 26.
And now it's 26.097.
Yeah.
And that is where we
pick up.
The county's measuring system wasn't as good as the one they used, so.
Okay.
And they also say in there that they weren't willing to reimburse us for those years because it was such a minute amount.
Mm-hmm. So, Joel, do you need an actual motion from this then?
No, it would just give me a copy so I can put it in the file.
Okay. So there are three copies of it here.
You're not agreeing to do anything. We're just
agreeing that that's what the...
That's what it is.
That's okay. What it is.
Okay, so I'll get it signed, and Dave can sign it. We'll send it to Mark, and he can sign it, and Joel, you can get it mailed back off to him. Okay, is there any other new business? Dave, did you have anything?
Nope.
Mark, did you have any other...
No, I have nothing else.
Okay. Joel, nothing on your end?
No.
We got what you wanted done? Okay, public participation. Each person addressing the board shall give his or her name and will be allotted 5 minutes. Please use the podium for your comments so they can be properly recorded by the fiscal officer and on Zoom. I need you to do is to state your name.
We have...
Hold on.
Elvis has just unmuted.
Okay, we have a gentleman at the podium here.
Okay.
Just state your name and...
Okay, hey, my name's Doug Sweeney. I'm on Arquette Road. Give you a little background. I spent 31 years with the Lucas County Engineers Road Maintenance. I was one of the plow guys out here for most of my career. As you were saying, there was no way to prepare for the storm because of the rain, so there was no treatment of the roads here. Recently, in the last 3 to 5 years, if I'm correct to assume this, Arquette Road and a number of other roads were switched from county roads to township roads. As of Sunday, you know, you even pointed out, I believe, Bo,
mm-hmm.
that you could tell that you thought it was a better rated driver. I'm here to disagree with that because I know the way I left this. Maybe because I'm out here, I take pride in my work. They did a fair job.
Yeah,
and when I say that, I'm saying compared to the last snowstorms we've had in the last couple.
Right.
Of, yeah.
And that's where I'm going. We all are taxpayers out here, and with this new engineer here, I come from George Wilson, and I work for Keith Early also. I've heard through the grapevine, and I know for a fact the plow routes have been changed out here. They're normally only sending one driver out here.
Yep.
Which is, I believe, is wrong, and we need to voice that. For the pure fact is, sometimes I couldn't get a hold of Kevin. I always gave Tony my phone number to go to a place to plow it out. But the fact that two is for safety, and you cannot control this district out here with proper snow care with one guy, especially a rookie. You know, you all got to get wet sometimes. But it goes back to Arquette Road. Yesterday, 9 times I had a plow go up and down that road. But during the event, nothing. Mm-hmm. Sunday, I was still using four-wheel drive coming from the east heading west, which I think is atrocious. The other problem is the other events that were minor was slick roads. We get no salt because the engineer out there, I can't quote him, but hearsay, is we're not doing any salting except for at the stoplights or at the stop or the intersections. Well, I'm sorry, my family drives out here, and I'm sure everybody else's do. And we're entitled to the same amount as they get over in Springfield. If you guys have to take a ride out there, you will see that you're getting cheated out here. Many ways through the years, it has not been ample out here for the residents. And I think somebody needs to go to the engineer because his idea is it's your choice to live out here in the rural area. That's your problem. And that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. I have road miles here, how they've changed it. For 30 years, they had two drivers and the routes worked. Now they prioritize and your north-south roads aren't going to get hit. Seaman doesn't get hit as well as it used to. North Curtis, it's a little iffy in spots. Mm-hmm. But more so when you get further out, it doesn't. And I think, you know, if we let this guy, he's a new man in here. I have not had the privilege of introducing myself or meeting him. but from what I hear from retirees and guys that are still employed, that he could give a crap. And that's been, and honestly, it was that way my whole period through here. You had to pull teeth to get, if you wanted to get a catch basin fixed or get something done, there was no relevance out here. Mm-hmm. The money that they spend out here compared to what they spend on the other side is atrocious. Mm-hmm. And I think as a group, maybe we could ask the engineer to come out here to explain to us why he treats the rural area like that. But all in all, you guys did a great job out here, and I want to thank you for that.
The comment has been made from the county is that they are on an EPA watch list for the amount of salt that they put out. So that's one reason why they're only going to salt the intersections. The dropping down to one truck, that was all new to us this year. Was basically what happened with that. The same way with Arquette Road. Arquette Road is technically now a township road, but the county has agreed to plow that road for us as long as we took over certain stub sections down where we plow,
right.
Which makes sense.
And we always had that agreement.
Yeah.
That agreement has been for years.
This engineer is, in a lack of better words, is tough to work with at times.
I like the word knucklehead.
I have talked to him on the phone, and he said that this storm he would have two trucks out here. He said they were keeping more of them out here, but at the state garage there, mm-hmm. Northwood. But the way I hear, he isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, they can tell you anything they want. Yeah. You know, you can.
And if you're buying the part about the EAP, why would they shove all that salt down on the docks? That's another horse crap line that he's throwing out into.
That's what I said too when it was all sitting down there by the river.
Yeah, yeah.
And we do that. These are definitely things I know. Kevin has voices his opinion to them, and Kevin seems to get a little bit more done because he's in with the workers
right.
a little bit better.
Right.
You know where we. You know, we're trying to talk to Panuski. We're trying to talk to, I think, Chris White.
Chris White, L-E-U-P-P.
So last year we had that real big snowstorm. We had a big conference call, and I ripped him on it, and he said, oh, bull crap. He goes, we've had our trucks out there. I said, I would love to see your GPS coordinates because there were no trucks out here for hours.
Right.
Not just during a shift change. Literally hours. Kevin and Eric say, we haven't seen a plow truck in 5-6 hours.
Right.
And it was snowing like crazy then. So your frustration is that we have the same exact frustration
right.
with them.
And I get that, but, you know, this has been going, it's gotten worse in the last few years.
Yes, last 2 years gotten worse.
I mean, with the repair of the catch basins, the ditches being cleaned out. I mean, when does somebody approach the engineer and say, hey, we've had enough of this mm-hmm. out here? You know, and I thank you guys for your time, but. Like he says, the rural areas aren't my problems. That's your choice for living out here.
Nobody cares about it. The sheriff doesn't care about us out here.
Oh, I
nobody.
See that.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for letting me speak.
We have tried, though.
Yeah, we
have tried.
It's an ongoing battle that we fight
with them. When I get the maps, I have the maps that they change these districts, and I know for a fact for 30 years they've worked.
I'd like to see those maps.
Okay, I have those, and if you want to see them afterwards,
I'll copy them.
If you invited him here, though, he could give a little talk about what they're doing, and then it would stay in his mind a little longer for the next snow.
Now he's pulling it out.
He's a different. He has the full backing of the commissioners, I think, on what he's doing because I think that we will be paying at some point in the near future. We will basically be paying for everything that we want done for Lucas County.
And remember, he was appointed, not elected.
Oh yeah, but he'll never get voted out, Doug.
Oh, we've seen that in the past.
Yeah, you'll never. He's in there for a lifetime. Yeah.
Eating out of the golden trough.
Yep.
Thank you, Doug.
Yep, you're welcome.
Mark, did you have any more comment on that?
No. Okay. No other comments.
Any other public
comments? We have three folks on Zoom. Let me just ask if
there are any public comments from the Zoom participants?
Yes, Mark, it's Alda Shepherd, 231 LZL, name Bo, name, thank you for your time. Just first acknowledgement, nice work on grabbing a hold of the public survey, tourism, business liaison. That's really good stuff, something that will really help the township and help us inside of all the things you're talking about. We're more self-sufficient we are. You know, obviously we're paying tax dollars to Lucas County, but the more self-sufficient we are, the better it is. Two quick things, first is just a statement, and the second's a question. The first statement is, inside of Republic, I'm not sure that I understand why cans would be a holdup for a bulk pickup. You don't use the cans for a bulk pickup. So that shouldn't be happening, as we're already paying for that, so something to maybe consider. And then just, if possible, quick update on the WENS rollout. That's all I have.
Elvis, on the Republic side of things, real quick, we are not paying the new rate as of yet. We are paying at the old rate at the new count, new house count. So we're not getting all the benefits yet, but we're also not paying for all those benefits at this time.
Understood.
Am I correct on that, Mark?
You are correct.
Okay, thank you. And then, Mark, do you have any response to the WENS agreement?
I don't have a new update on the WENS system, but I will reach out to the county and see where they're at. They did get our signed contract, so that should be activated, so I'll find out.
Okay. Any other public participation? Seeing none.
Hang on. I got a raised hand here.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Linda Jakubowski has her hand up. Linda, go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi. Hope y'all can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, Linda Jakubowski, 11053 Dyke Road. Great work on getting automated garbage pickup. Have that where we live now, so it's really awesome. Quick question. Do you think that the recycling area in Jerusalem Township will be able to handle all of those plastic current garbage cans that we have that we're going to bring for recycling?
Just a heads up.
Yeah. I was wondering if there was been a claim made, but, you know, all I think was, I've got two just on my own, and they're big.
Well, we'll try and make sure that the county gets out here and keeps on dumpsters empty for that that issue if we start seeing that happen.
I can talk to the garbage.
Right, I think, to echo Bo, I think we can contact them. If we see that the mixed container bins are starting to fill up, I mean, we can ask them to come out more frequently and empty those.
Gee, I'll take them.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to maybe give you a heads up just so we don't see all that clutter up along Route 2 during the tourism season.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Anybody else on Zoom, Mark, that has their hand up?
No, I don't see any other hands raised.
Okay. Any other public participation? Seeing none, looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I'll second that.
Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bill Miller?
Yes.
Mark Sauer?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned?
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 Yes.
Meeting adjourned?